Well, there's some big news coming. There is some big news coming. We've heard about it for quite a while now. It's going to affect the world as we know it. Or at least it's going to affect the world around here as we know it. It's of universal significance. It's coming. There will come a day when we will stand in awe. Those who believe, those who understand, and those who have no idea at all are going to be amazed, because a time has been fixed. We don't know exactly when. The world will change, because just a little way from here, a bit further down the A421, in roughly 6 years' time, subject to planning consent, Universal Studios is going to open. My eldest grandchild, who is heavily into the Marvel Universe, frequently asks me what superpower I would choose. I know someone who is a hero. He isn't part of Marvel, but here's a clue. He has an amazing ability to travel across time. He pops in and out of history. He leaves messages right across time itself. Most people have heard of him. Few understand him. Across the history of the human race, past, present, and future, he often works with others, but sometimes on his own. The changes can be huge, or they might just be tiny little changes here and there in the right place that make a big difference further on, just when needed. No one really understands how he comes and goes. Everyone remembers when they meet him. And of course, we're talking about Doctor Who. There is another Time Lord, an even greater one. Everyone remembers when they meet him. He doesn't need a TARDIS to travel around in. He doesn't need the help of individuals, although usually he chooses to use them. He wasn't born on Gallifrey, because he existed before time itself. And he will continue to exist long after time has been wrapped up and finishes to be. And he doesn't actually need to travel through time at all, because he exists outside of it. Of course he does. He created it. Yes, many people love Doctor Who. Many people love the Marvel Universe. But the truth is actually even more amazing. The world is full of superheroes and of super stories, from Iron Man to Game of Thrones, Spider-Man to Black Widow. Our whole culture is pervaded by iconic characters that we avidly follow, or some of us do anyway. We've been doing this throughout history. Greeks and Romans had their gods. Every culture has had its own mythologies, and we're no exception. We change over years as our culture changes. I wonder when our civilization has gone, which ones will remain and be seen by others. I'm not saying they aren't good stories. Inspirational, many of them. But the word idols does come to mind. One of the gripping things about these stories is the threads that weave through them, the background plots that reveal themselves slowly as you watch each film or the next episode, or perhaps move even from one series to another. And just like this, we don't know the full story of how our God connects these things together. For now, it's a mystery, but it won't always be so. Sometimes we suddenly understand. Some things we won't understand until we meet him face to face. because although now we see a poor reflection, as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully. 1 Corinthians 13. I confess I find it hard to believe that one day I will know more than Stephen Hawking about what makes the universe tick. And there are some things that we say, I'm going to ask him when I get there. But you know what? I think when we meet him in all his glory, we're not going to worry about that anymore. It will all become known and actually not that important, possibly. But another thought while we're in Corinthians, I didn't really realise until the other day that that well-known verse, now we see but a poor reflection, comes just three verses after that other well-known verse, love is patient, love is kind, love never fails. What does that tell us? Then we will understand love fully. Why is that? Because we have a God who loves his people. Uniquely amongst faiths, he's willing and he plans even to become a humble servant, to suffer for others, to be rejected by his own people. Isaiah 53, he was oppressed and afflicted, but he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. This was written 700 years before Christ was crucified. Like I say, he's the Lord of time. But surely such a God must actually also be a weak and pointless God. But we also see him as a conquering king with unlimited power. And he wants to usher in an age that's free of prejudice and injustice. He is totally throughout history. He is in it, he is fundamental to it, because history itself is purely a creation of his. As we read in John chapter 1, he was there before the world was thought of. In God's time zone, where one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day, cause and effect don't work like they do here. We are the servants of time, but God stands outside such common things as past, present, future. Of course, he can control this world. Like all miracles, they're a breaking in of God's kingdom into what is, to the angels, that strange place that exists outside of eternity. According to the rules of that place, there is no time. There is no cause and effect. It's the universe that we know it that's odd. And this strange, unnatural state of affairs that to us seems normal, that is all we know and can understand, will be resolved and healed when heaven comes to earth again, permanently. God created the best possible world, the best possible place for us to live and have our being, the best place for us outside of eternity. And inside this world that has become so imperfect, thanks to the works of Dr. Doom, we are graciously given the tools we need to survive. Because we, ladies and gentlemen, we are superheroes with superpowers, a wide range of them. But the same God is working in all these ways and in all people. The Holy Spirit is given to each of us in a special way. That is for the good of all. This is from 1 Corinthians 12. All the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit. He gives gifts to each person just as he decides. None of us is exempt. And they're not simply intellectual or emotional states. They are spiritual powers, extra physical powers, superpowers, that help believers to grow in holiness and to more authentically live for our God. That's pretty amazing, isn't it, really? Then there are the fruits of the Holy Spirit as well. In Galatians 5, there were nine there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Yes, kindness is a superpower. And I actually think this list is purely indicative. There are quite a few more of them. These virtues are outward manifestations of the Holy Spirit's presence and its work in a believer's life. There are a lot of plot lines that superheroes have taken from Christianity. The stories so often copy the greatest story ever told. People living perfectly ordinary lives do totally amazing things. Miracles happen. People see visions. People rise from the dead. The everlasting story of good versus evil. I remember our daughters loved that film, The Neverending Story. It's a lovely one to go and see. Because it is a never-ending story. The good guy conquers, which he does, because in the end, love wins big. The story of the loving God has Iron Men, it has Wonder Women, it has, as we are promised, portals that exist between the stories. I was a teenager when I became a Christian. I went through a portal and my life changed. It has immersive experiences. You can't get more immersive than eternity with our God and in a new creation. And as well as more heroes and martyrs than you can count, to top it all off, it has a servant king. Okay, can I become invisible? Can I travel faster than a speeding bullet? Why would I actually want to when it comes to that? Can I turn green? Can I summon thunder and lightning? Walk through walls? But we do, all of us, have superpowers given into our keeping. And like the X-Men, they are there for the benefit of mankind. We know of the Beatitudes, and there are eight blessings that Jesus pronounced. It gave qualities and attitudes that lead to happiness and fulfillment, not just in God's kingdom, but here too. Essentially, they teach that true happiness is found not in worldly possessions or status, but in virtues like meekness and compassion and a desire for God's justice. The Beatitudes in Matthew 5, it's a bit of a funny word that, isn't it? I'm not actually sure what it means, but I think it means just beautiful things. Let's just think of them for a moment. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's a funny one, isn't it? Those who recognise their spiritual need and their dependence on God. Blessed are those who mourn. That's a bit of a funny one too, really, isn't it? Those who grieve over sin and suffering, both personal and in the world around us, and are open to God's comfort. Blessed are the meek, those who are gentle, humble, patient, even in times of adversity. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. who passionately want God's justice and goodness in the world around them. Blessed are the merciful that show compassion and forgiveness. The pure in heart who are sincere and honest and have pure motives for what they do. The peacemakers, those who work actively to reconcile differences in the world around them and to build harmony. And those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, who suffer for their faith and their commitment to God's truth. These are all superpowers, and they highlight a huge difference in perspective. They tell us that true happiness lies in taking virtues that may seem counterintuitive to survival in this world and offer instead a path to fulfilling a life that is more aligned with God's kingdom values and his promises of blessing, because although we can't see it, his kingdom is so much more powerful. Now, I'm going to take a slight detour here. Psalm 8. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little less than God, and you crown him with glory and honour. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and put all things under his feet. Why did God create such an enormous expanse of universe? Perhaps he created such a universal marvel, for no other purpose than to tell us that he loved us, to tell us how important we are to him, to give us pleasure in finding just how glorious the abilities of our God are. Wow, look up at the sky at night somewhere where there's no street lights. To remind us that actually we're only a little less than God. Perhaps also so that we can walk out on a summer's evening, look up at that night sky, hold someone's hand, and just be silent in the sheer majesty of knowing that we are also loved by him. And he did all this for us, and for us only. We are told that God is love. We know this because told us this, and there really are only two commandments, and all the others are based on him. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbour likewise. And then we can think that he sent out a call to each and every one of us as human beings, so that we could meet with him, run into his arms, and they're held out wide to catch us. We can hold conversations with him. We can walk alongside him, and he gladly walks alongside us. And he says, as he looks, points at the galaxies and the supernovas, and he says, look, I made that for you. Because he's also guardian of the galaxy. I've spent a lot of time this morning talking about the majesty of our Lord. But let's not also forget, he is our saviour. Hands that flung stars into space also moulded us from the dust, knew our days before we were even conceived, loved us before we were born, came down to this planet he created, born in the most inauspicious way, died the most horrible death, that we might live. And at the beginning we saw just some of the ways in which he lifted up us, his created beings. And in a moment we're going to see a video that shows what we did to him. It's a bit graphic. We haven't really got any children. They're all out, aren't they? But it's a crucifixion. And he did this that we might also rise and live eternally, that we might have access to the existence he always intended that we have. That most truly wonderful of all superpowers, eternal life. And then we're just going to watch this video, and then I will sum up in another few words. And yeah, just see what you think of this. I would say, remember the first one as you watch this, perhaps. He truly was the Son of God. Many years ago, I was asked to write a gospel message. Well, it wasn't just me, a few of us were, that took no longer than 3 minutes. And I still have it. So in the last 3 minutes, what is the gospel then? It's about recognising that we all have bad stuff inside us. It's about understanding that there is a God. He cares. And he wants to change that bad stuff every bit as much as we do, more in fact. It's about realising that we can only change when we have someone else to help us. We can't do it on our own. In fact, we need God to help us. It's about realising that God wants that to happen so very much that he sent his son into this mess to help us get out of it. It's about us as individuals appreciating that God loves us so very much that he sent his son knowing that he would have to die like that in order that we could be saved. It's about believing not only that Jesus died for us, but that he rose again from the dead. And if we allow him into our lives, he can create in us the very different person that we wish we were. It's about the biggest and best improvement opportunity that we will ever be offered. It's about a personal and special friendship with God himself, the maker of the universe, no less, in which we can learn to allow his powerful spirit to guide us. It isn't easy. In fact, it will probably be very difficult. It's about being saved from a terrible mess so that we can be what God wanted for us all along, what he created us to be. And it's about 10 promises, like not wanting to kill, but having the power of love, like not needing to be envious, but wanting the best for others, like not presuming to judge, but welcoming the differences. It's about healing our wounds with the power of love. It's about helping others with that too. It's about being willing and able to put aside our own plans and desires. Like I said, it isn't easy. It's about the power of love. It's about the power of God's love, his grace, his forgiveness. It's about understanding what this that this world is not our home, but somewhere we're just passing through. It's about knowing that one day we will have that immense privilege of being with our Maker and of holding him tightly, just as he will want to hold us, just as he wants to do that right now. It's about knowing that one day Jesus will return to this world and save it and us from the mess it's in. Most of all, it's about saying, thank you, God, for sending your son. I've made a terrible mess of things. I'm sorry. I give it to you. Help me to do that. When you get that chance, please don't say no. And if that is you today, just talk to one of us here. Talk to one of our leaders, and we will answer your questions. Any that you may have. And remember, up, up, and away. Thank you. Thank you very much. Our last song